Good evening. Wanted to let you know some really good news. It's always fantastic news anytime a family comes and wants to be a part of this congregation, and the elders got to meet this afternoon with the Sampson family, Caleb and Kristen and their five children, Elijah, Alex, Abby, Zeke, and Luke, and they're sitting right over here in this section here. Please make them feel welcome and help them get acclimated to Florence Boulevard. They've been checking us out for a little while, and they like what they see. And they are planning on rolling their sleeves up and getting to work pretty quick. So make them feel at home. Thank you.
Good evening. We'd like to welcome everyone, especially our visitors, to our services this evening at Florence Boulevard. We ask that you, if you are visiting with us, we ask that you fill out an attendance card, and we will collect those later. And we also ask that you stick around for a little bit so that we can get to know you and get a name to put with a face. Our number this time, we have Ray Fergus in Florence Nursing and Rehab, and he can have visitors. You may refer to like a comprehensive list that we have out in the foyer for the rest of our sick and shut-ins. As announced this morning, the cousin of John, Jake Mays, passed away tragically in an accident, and we had a special prayer this morning for the family, but let's do that again if you don't care, because I got to thinking about this earlier, you know, on my way to church, and I've lost somebody that very suddenly before, tragically, and it's a very tough and painful thing to go through. So let's pray for that family again at this time. Dear God, we come to you now, blessing you for thanking you for blessing us with another day of life. We come to you now and ask that you be with Jake Mays' family and help them deal with this loss that they've encountered. Help them to deal with everything that they're feeling, whether it be anger, sadness, sleepless nights, all the things that go with something tragic happening. We ask that you just be with them and help them to deal with things in a healthy and productive way, I guess you could say. It's never easy when something like this happens, and it's something that you never get over, but we ask that you help them come to a closure with it and acceptance as quickly as possible, but we know that you're the only one that knows how people deal with things and knows when that time will come. We go ask that you again be with this family and go with us throughout the rest of this service and throughout the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Next Sunday, we have the last leaders kickoff. So be thinking about if you'd like to participate. If you haven't participated before, be thinking about what you would like to help out with, or and for the kids, be thinking about what activities you would like to participate in as well. Again, that'll be next Sunday, October 16th. Cradle roll through sixth grade. Don't forget, tonight you have a meeting after church, but the room has been changed from the fellowship hall to the 49ers room. So again, the cradle roll through sixth grade meeting, that is tonight, but it's in the 49ers classroom in the back of the auditorium instead of the fellowship hall. So if there are no other announcements, we will begin our service at this time.
Hey, well, due to some sickness one week and work schedule the others, I have missed being with our family here on Sunday nights. Let's stand as we worship this evening.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone up.
ladies just echo what the men do.
I-B-O-A-O, Lord. I-B-O-A-O, Lord. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings, I-B-O-A-O, Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. In the day of trouble, beneath the shadow of your wings, give me your peace, O Lord. Safe in your dwelling place. Safe in your dwelling place. In the day
Cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone,
would you bow with me, please? Dear Lord, we're so grateful that you've seen fit to bestow upon us another beautiful day, Lord, that we're able to gather this evening to worship in spirit and truth. Lord, we're so thankful that we have men that can stand in the pulpit to deliver thy word. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless them with many years of service in thy kingdom. Lord, we're so thankful for the church, what it means to each and every one of us. Lord, we ask a special blessing at this time upon our country and the troubles it faces. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless each and every one of us. Lord, that we would be able to help make this country stronger. Lord, we would ask that you would be with the leaders of our country. Be with them as they make decisions that affect each and every one of us, and that they would look to you for strength and guidance. Lord, we're especially grateful for our elders and our deacons and our ministers and the time they put in, the work that they do each and every day, Lord, that often goes unnoticed. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless them and their families. Give them strength in the decisions they make that they'll help each and every one of us have a home in heaven with thee one day. Lord, we're mindful of those men and women that serve in the military, whether it be stateside or especially abroad, Lord, that are perhaps in harm's way at this very hour. We ask that you would be with them, you would keep them safe if it be your will, and bring them home to their families as soon as possible. Lord, we're so thankful for the missionaries that go forth from this congregation and sister congregations throughout the world, Lord. We ask that you would continue to strengthen them, embolden them, Lord, to spread thy word in those countries and those places, and be with those leaders of those countries that they would make that job much easier. Lord, at this time, we're mindful of those who've lost loved ones, whether it be recently or in the past, Lord. We ask you to continue to be with them. We ask you to be with those that are sick, those that are afflicted, whether it be emotionally, physically, or spiritually, Lord. We ask that you would heal them. Be with those caregivers, those nurses, those doctors, and give them the ability to bring them back to the much-wanted, needed help. And us as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ would be able to do or say something that would help them in their time of need. Lord, we're so thankful for your son and what it's meant to us, because without him, we wouldn't have a home in thee with heaven. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our many sins. Go with us and keep us through this night until we return again. And in Christ's name we pray, amen.
As we prepare to spend some additional time for a lot of us, maybe the first time this evening, for some of us on the table, the sacrifice that's been given for us, let's sing about the old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross.
you weren't able to take a communion this morning and you need a packet and don't have one, please raise your hand. We'll make sure that we get one to you. Just a few things to get our minds and our hearts centered on our Lord and Savior, and to make this remembrance personal like it was to Paul. Let's look at Galatians 2:20. If you want to take your Bibles and turn with me, we'll look at a few passages this evening. We know this verse very well, Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And this is the important part. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul, it was personal to him that Christ gave his life for him. It should be personal to us tonight as we remember these emblems that we're going to partake of in just a moment. And just a few things I want us to remember what Christ did for us. Look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. You know, Jesus left all the glories of heaven where we want to go someday. He left the glories of heaven for us. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Number two, I want us to think about, we need to appreciate individually his agony. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. Starting in verse 37, he's in Gethsemane, of course, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And then I want you to think about his betrayal. The people closest to him when he walked on this earth, the disciples, they all forsook him. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. The disciples disappeared at the time that he needed them. He did that because he loves me and he loves you. And then the last thing I want you to think about is, can you place yourself there? Can you place yourself there when he was being mocked and when he was blindfolded and when he was slapped and he was spit upon? Can you think about being there when he was brutally scourged? We know what that looks like. The back, flesh ripped, blood flying, splattering everywhere. The loss of blood, the pain. You see him carrying his cross, bearing his cross. Is it no wonder why he doesn't ask us to bear our cross for him today? Is that too much for us? No, it's not. When we think about what he did for us. And then lastly, as he hung on the cross, just think, after he's gone through all of this, then he has to hear the insults and the mockery coming from the people that go by as he's literally dying on the cross. But he endured that because he loves us. The last passage is Isaiah 53:5. But he, our Lord, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to you for your Son, and it's through him, Father, that we come before you in this time of our commemoration of remembering him, Father, and the great sacrifice, the love that he had for us and the love that you had in sending him. And I pray, Father, as we remember his death, Father, the tremendous outpouring of love for us, As we remember, Father, his body, and we partake of this bread, Father, that represents his body, I pray, Father, that we'll remember him and his sacrifice, the love our Lord and our Savior have for us, and that you have for us. And I pray, Father, that we do this in a way that's pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Continue in prayer. Dear Lord, we do remember the blood, Father, that poured from his body. And Lord, we know that is the blood that makes us white as snow, that cleanses us, makes us pure, Father, before you. And we are so thankful, Father, for that blood. And Lord, help us to remember the agony of our Lord and the love again that he has for each of us. And I pray, Father, as we partake of this cup, of this fruit of the vine, Lord, that does represent his blood. Again, Lord, that we'll do so in a way that brings honor and glory to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Aside from communion, we're always thankful for the blessings that we enjoy, and let's go to God in prayer and give thanks. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to you, Father, for all that we have. Lord, we are so richly blessed, and we know, Father, that it all does come from you. Help us, Father, not to ever forget that and to be mindful through the week, Father, of where our blessings do come. We thank you for our health. We thank you for the ability to work and provide for a living and provide for our families, Lord. Thank you for giving us those abilities. And I pray, Father, as we give, that we will do so, Father, and cheerfully and out of love in our hearts. And I pray, Father, that you would help those men here that will make decisions over the funds, that you'd bless them with wisdom, Father, so that we can apply these funds and do things, Father, that will further your kingdom, Father, and bring honor to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hey, I'm so grateful to our shepherds that they have made communion with each other, with our Savior, a priority on Sundays. I know those of us that may work great in shifts really appreciate that, but the additional time for all of us to spend in thought meditation on the cross, that just that does more good than I'm sure we realize. Before we have our message brought to us by Greg once again this evening, we'll sing He Gave Me a Song. If you like, let's stand as we sing it, and we ask that you remain standing as we have our scripture reading immediately following.
He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day.
Sing the chorus. scripture tonight is taken from Romans chapter 6, verses 13 through 17.
I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching which you were committed. And having been set free from sin and become slaves of righteousness. Maybe see it.
So good evening and welcome back to Florence Boulevard. I know I went long this morning, so I kind of shortened it up tonight to make up for it. So open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to camp this evening. Acts chapter 2. We'll read from there in just a few minutes. You know, if you went to high school, and you don't have to admit to this, in the 50s, or 60s, or 70s, and even, I guess, maybe the 80s, you know, every once in a while, you will experience some what I like to call fashion deja vu. Because, you know, fashion is cyclical. You know, what comes around, goes around, then goes around, and then comes around again. You know, I could ask a few of you to stand, and, you know, the pants, honestly, that we've seen of late, they look like they're straight from the 1950s. They're just a little tight, and they're really, really, really short. 10, 15 years ago, if you had to step on a high school campus or a college campus, and I remember doing this, you actually saw bell-bottom jeans and wide belts. And every once in a while, you would see platform shoes that looked like they were right out of the 1970s. Sooner or later, paisleys are going to come back, plaids are going to come back, and believe it or not, you know, hope to die, stick a pin in my eye, polyester looks like it's here to stay, all right? And it doesn't really look any better now than it did back then. Kids still wear the eyes-eyed shirts, you know, with a little alligator on their chest, and I read not too long ago that leisure suits are supposed to be coming back. There's something to put on your prayer list right there, okay? Leisure suits. Those of you born in the 1950s and the 60s as well, take a look at some of the cars that you see on the road, you know? The Thunderbird, they brought it back, you know, years ago. The current Mustang looks like 1966 Fastback 2+2. The Dodge Charger from 1970 is reemerged as the Dodge Charger of the year 2022. And neighborhoods, you know, are built in some areas of the country are taking a page from the past as well. They're building them with narrow roads and sidewalks and old-timey street lamps, you know, and front yards that are close to the road and huge front porches on every house so that the neighbors can learn how to visit again. It's almost like in certain parts of the country, you know, we never gave that up here, really, truly. But in other parts of the country, they're trying to recapture that small-town feel of yesteryear. The past is always going to be present again. Retro is always going to return. Vintage is always going to be in some shape, form, or fashion, you know. And here we are in the year 2022, and we're seeing some of the things that we saw 20, 30, 40 years ago. And it's no wonder, you know, because when you talk about things that were back in the day, I think you're talking about quality, and you're talking about craftsmanship, and you're talking about authenticity. And it's no wonder that teenagers and car designers and real estate developers and fashion moguls are plundering the past for something that is new and compelling. And I like the fact that all of a sudden it's cool to talk about something old, something that is back in the day. But this evening, I don't want to talk to you about vintage automobiles. I could for a long time, or vintage clothing, or vintage furniture. What I want to talk to you tonight is really about vintage Christianity. Kind of build on what we talked about this morning. And so it would make sense, I think, if you and I to do that, then we need to read from a vintage book. And the only New Testament book of vintage history is the book of Acts. And let's see if we can't recapture that something old that we talked about this morning. And let's start, if you would, please, there in the second chapter with verse 22. And we're going to read all the way to verse 47. You ready? Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man arrested, attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did through him in your midst, and you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, you have crucified, you have put him to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, for he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of the body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on the throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God is raised up, of which you are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Assuredly know that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued, listen to this part especially, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And now all who believed were together and had all things common, and they sold their possessions and their goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being in the saved. So let me say this, all right? Back in the day, and that's just what we read about, was back in the day. But back in the day, they knew the meaning of the word commitment. Because that's what it means when it says that they devoted themselves to doctrine and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They were committed. They were devoted to doing those things. Now, I don't know who your Superman is, because there's been a whole lot of Supermen through the years, all right? There was the Superman of the 50s and the Superman of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And I guess there are still Supermen today. I don't know what actors play their part. But I guess our Superman for my generation was Christopher Reeves. Now, many of you will know that name. None of you will, all right? Christopher Reeves. If you recall, he had some sort of horse riding accident. And I think he finally succumbed to those injuries about 15 years ago. But he was paralyzed from the neck down. And at one point during the ordeal, and it was an ordeal from all reports, that he was just ready to pull his own plug if he was able to do that. And his wife said, came to him and implored him and begged him with tears in her eyes, no, please don't. She says, I know with all my heart that you are still you, and I love you. And there's a woman who knows something about commitment. We have another woman just like that. She doesn't have all the money that Hollywood threw at her to do it, but she does it too. There's a woman with commitment here at Florence Boulevard as well. Commitment. Devotion. Maybe that's not as easy for us as it was for them back 2,000 years ago, you know? I mean, the people in Acts chapter 2, they lived just a few short weeks from the cross itself. Maybe that's why they understood that Christianity was about commitment, because in that day and age, if you didn't have it, you didn't make it. If you didn't have it, then you didn't do it. If you didn't have it, then you know what? You were lost. And so they knew that if you were going to embrace the doctrine, you know, you were going to have to be committed. You were going to have to be devoted to that doctrine. You were going to have to be committed and devoted to those relationships. You were going to have to be consistent in worship and in prayer. You were going to have to show commitment and devotion. And back in the day, that's exactly what they were. And look at one of the first things that they were devoted and committed to. Did you catch it? Because it's the redheaded stepchild of Christianity in the year 2022. Doctrine. Now, we live in a day and age where many people, religious as they are, just do not believe that doctrine matters at all. And yet, tops on the list back in the day was doctrine. Because doctrine is important. Because we do not call people to profess faith in faith. That would be silly. We call people to profess faith in Jesus Christ. And that makes sense. There is no such thing as Christianity in general, because faith devoid of doctrine, no matter how powerful it is, no matter how emotional it is, that kind of religion isn't religion at all. It's not New Testament Christianity. For those who profess Christianity in general usually believe in nothing in particular. Anything goes. But you have to understand this evening, and I hope you do, probably do already, but for those of you that are maybe on the fence, you got to know that true Christianity resides in the particulars. And back in the day, 2,000 years ago, guess what? They knew the particulars. Some churches seem to think the doctrine is a concern for those of only a certain intellectual bent, you know, but it's unnecessary for most Christians. And yes, there is some intellectual exercise, you know, in the matter of knowing doctrine. You've got to do it, but everybody is very capable of that. That's one of the reasons, you know, why we turn Christians and become children of God and convert to Christianity, you know, at older ages, so that we can understand it, because you can't when you're a little bitty. So it is somewhat of an intellectual exercise, but everybody's capable of doing it. Like, let me tell you something. Memorization is not intellect. That's not what that is. Memorizing formulas and memorizing, you know, historical dates and things like that, that's not necessarily intellect. Now, certainly some intellectual people have that capacity, but in and of itself, it's not. The being intellectual means that you read a paper and you come to the realization that nothing in it was true. Intellect is listening to a TV news report from Fox News or CNN and realizing hardly anything in it was so. True intellect is coming across a problem that's in desperate need of solution, and you can do it. It's deep critical thinking. It's discovering the truth, no matter how camouflaged or manipulated that it's been. That's what true intellect is. And yet, doctrine does take that exercise of intellect, but everybody can do that on at least some level. And if you can't, then you can just add yourself to the company of the confused. Because that's the way they are. And that's what some congregations are and what others are becoming. Some congregations and some Christians, you know, they only want to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about that too. And I often do, but not to the exclusion of everything else. And when Jesus left this earth, you know, he didn't tell the apostles, now only talk about my death, burial, and resurrection when I go. What did he say? In Matthew chapter 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, listen to this, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He might as well just said, you know what, share the doctrine. And those two words, baptize and teach, are present tense. And that matters, right? indicating that that is how you make disciples. You baptize them, and then you teach them doctrine. You teach them the specifics of Christianity. You teach them, and we talked about this too this morning, the faith. So that scripture means, as Steve read for us a little while ago, thanks be to God, that whereas you were once servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of what? To that form of teaching. And literally the Greek word there, properly translated, means doctrine that was delivered to you. Now, do you really think that Paul would stand up before a group of people like this and say, well, you know what, so long as you believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection, you're okay. Just forget about doctrine. Doesn't matter. Never would. Know how I know that? Never did. Never did. See, the problem is that some people cry for the man, but they decry the plan. And I'm telling you this evening that you cannot have one without the other. God unites those two things into one message. Peter preached about the man in Acts chapter 2, 22 through 36. We read it. And then Peter preached about the plan in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and following, and we read it. And you think about that for a moment. What if those 3,000 people that we read there on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, what if they had embraced the man, but they had rejected the plan? What would have happened then? Would they be any different from the demons who believed in Jesus, you know, in the book of James, but did nothing more than tremble? No. Would they be any different from the Jews in John chapter 8 who believed on him but refused to obey him? No. Of what benefit at Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 36, without Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? No benefit at all. Why preach the man without giving the plan? You wouldn't. You shouldn't. Florence Boulevard, we don't. We give it. We give both here at this congregation. I'm happy to say that. One of the reasons why I'm a part of this congregation is because we do both. And there is a plan. And you know what? You need to know it. Church organization, there's a plan. How each congregation is independent of every other congregation and governed you know, locally by a plurality of elders, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. There's a plan. Worship, there's a plan. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, John chapter 4 and verse 24. A cappella singing is the truth. Reaching down deep in your heart with thankfulness, you know, to God. That's the spirit, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. There's a plan. The Lord's Supper, there's a plan. How upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And they did it only on the first day of the week. I did it twice today. You did such a good job. I just took it again. That's okay, isn't it? That's okay. Because I stuck to the plan. And in salvation, there's a plan too, right? You got to hear the gospel. For faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. You got to believe it because without faith, it is impossible to believe him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. You got to repent, you know, of your past sins, you know, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. You got to do that. You got to confess that Jesus is Lord. You got to confess him in front of men so that he will confess you before his Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 32. 10 and verse 32. And certainly you got to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins right here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. I say all this for one reason. Back in the day, they were devoted to doctrine. How devoted are you? How devoted are we? We're gonna go back on the old paths, and we got to be devoted to the doctrine. And the second thing, you know what you got to be devoted to? You got to be devoted to fellowship, which sometimes, quite frankly, is hard. You know, people being people. And Christians are people, and sometimes people are hard, and so sometimes, you know, Christians are hard. You know, some people are hard to have a relationship with, you know, and my wife always tells me, she says, Greg, you know, it wouldn't be much of a test if everybody were easy to get along with, and she's right. She's right. John chapter 13 and verse 34 says, love others as I have loved you, and that takes a lot of patience, doesn't it? That's why chapter 2 said that they had to be devoted to it, committed to it. You know, all of them had come together. And I don't care what anybody says. Anytime you come together for a long period of time, then there's going to be some difficulties because people are hard, you know. I have a preacher friend. He tells this story. And he lived in a neighborhood years ago. He's about my age. It was Matt. I forgot Matt's last name. I don't keep up with Matt anymore because he kind of went off the wayward path. But he told a story about his neighborhood. People were always walking in his neighborhood. And there was I don't know how to say this politically correct, but I am not very political. There was a crazy man that lived in his neighborhood, okay? I mean, he was different. He had some issues. And you could walk around your neighborhood back in the day without, it was okay. You got to keep track of everybody now, but not so much then. His name was Cecil. Cecil was his name. And Cecil walked more than anybody in the neighborhood. I mean, Cecil walked every single day. And as Cecil would walk, he would talk. Not just to himself, he would talk to everybody. And not just to everybody, he would talk to everything. Because Cecil was crazy. Cecil would talk to trees. Cecil would talk to shrubs. Cecil would talk to houses. Cecil would talk to garbage cans. Cecil would talk to dogs. Cecil would talk to just everything. He just talked to them. He was Cecil. And so one day, my preacher friend and his friends, I think they'd watched an episode of Andy Griffith, so they got a couple of walkie-talkies, and they stuck one of the walkie-talkies in a garbage can, and then they hid in the bushes with the other walkie-talkie, and as people would walk by the garbage can, you know, they would talk to the people. Hello there, Mrs. Johnson, and Mrs. Johnson, you know, would leap and scream and be scared, and then another little boy would come by, and they'd go, hello, little boy, you know, and the little boy, you know, would run off scared, and then they look down the road, and guess what? Here came Cecil, talking to a chain-link fence as he's headed their way, and they just thought to themselves, man, this is going to be so good. And sure enough, Cecil got by the garbage can, and they said, hello there, Cecil. And Cecil looked at him and said, hello there, garbage can, and just kept on walking. Because talking to garbage cans, not a big deal to Cecil at all. I don't know where I'm going with this. It's just that people are different, man. There's people in every group that's hard, you know. They're hard to understand. Look, I know I'm a little weird. My wife tells me all the time. I get it. Thank you, Brian. You think Brian McManus is playing with a full deck? I mean, some of you, come on. But, you know, people are hard to understand, and they're hard to get to know, and they're hard to fellowship. And when you do that, you know what? You got to be devoted. You got to be committed to doing that because it's hard. Some people are hard. Some people have needs, and that's hard, you know. And that's why back in the day, you know, Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 45 that they sold their stuff and they gave to those who had need. Because that's what you do when you're a child of God. That's what you do when you're a Christian. Are you listening? That's what you do when you have brothers and sisters in Christ. You provide for each other. So they opened their homes and they shared their food and they forgave their debts and they celebrated their victories and they mourned their losses and they took in each other's children. Because that's what Christians do who are committed to fellowship. It's a lifestyle. And for too many of us, for too many people in the church, it's not a lifestyle. It's become an event. It's an event. It's a once or twice thing. You know, every week you show up, you do your thing, and then you go along your merry way. And if all you do is show up and sing and take the Lord's Supper, listen to a sermon and go home, that's not a lifestyle. That's an event. And whatever you do, don't ever confuse Christianity with Sunday worship or Sunday school or Sunday sermons with something that just happens because, well, it's time for it to happen. Because we're not an event. We're a lifestyle. We're a congregation of the Lord's church, and we work at that, and we should work at that every day, every week of the year, every year of our lives. They did. They did 2,000 years ago. Because true Christianity really, truly takes that kind of fellowship. And back in the day, they knew that. And then finally, back in the day, they knew the purpose of worship, which I think is key and critical. Verse 42 references the Lord's Supper and prayer. Actually, it says the breaking of bread, but my conviction is that phrase, breaking of bread, is a synecdoche where the part of the speech kind of represents the whole. And I think in this instance that the breaking of bread means that's the part that represents the whole, and the whole is just worship in general, worship itself. In fact, a few verses later in verse 47, it says that they praise God. Because back in the day, they knew it wasn't about themselves. They knew that it was about God. And you know that ought to stir us, that ought to move us, that ought to motivate us. one of the primary things that we ought to want to do is to worship God. You know, a wise man once said, he said, most people lead lives of quiet desperation and they go to the grave with a song still in their heart. When I read about these people 2,000 years ago in the Word of God, it almost seems like they were desperate to worship. That they just had to do it at all costs. And you know what? Sometimes it actually was. It was very costly for them. They were desperate to worship God. And we're desperate too, but unfortunately sometimes we're just desperate for the wrong things. Sometimes we're just way too desperate for things that don't matter. We're way too desperate for some sort of feeling, some sort of nebulous feeling. And we chase that until we just ruin ourselves. We chase acceptance or approval. We're desperate for that, which is why we put so much effort into ourselves. And we think if we live in the right neighborhood or drive the right cars or wear the right fashions or make the right amount of money or develop or even purchase the right kind of bodies, then, you know, we're going to have acceptance. We're going to have approval. We're going to have favor. And the funny thing is the more we run after those things, the less we pursue God. That's what happens. And it happens every single time. And our brothers and sisters back in the day, 2,000 years ago, did not go to the grave with a song still in their heart. They sang it out. They celebrated God every day for as many moments as they could get a hold of. They celebrated God, not just one day, but all the time. They lived by Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made, and so I will rejoice in this day and be glad of it, and I'm not going to wait till Sunday. That's what they did back in the day. And I think, and I got more, but I'm going to quit. I think we ought to be Christians in this day and age, but I think we ought to be Christians back in the day. You can do with this whatever you like to do with it, but the lesson is yours. If you're here this evening and you are and you're ready to become a child of God, if you're ready to get your life right, if you're ready to start being who God wants you to be, this is a perfect opportunity. Maybe you thought about it this morning and you missed it. Don't miss it tonight because you never know when you're going to run out of chances. Please come while together we stand and sing.
According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is a powerful, powerful song. But quite frankly, it's hard to sing through sometimes without getting emotional. Hopefully enjoy this tonight. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness,
Nate got you on that one. He wanted to see who's doing their homework listening to these songs. And he got you. He got you, family. Hey, real quick, I know that there's a meeting in the fellowship hall for the youth families, the young youth families. And so I want to encourage you to go to that because that is very important for our congregation here at Florence Boulevard to have a pipeline from the smallest all the way to the oldest. And so I'm thankful for all the work that they're going to do, the Hodges, and I'm thankful for all the work that the Youngs do. And so we're thankful for that and for everybody who teaches. And I preface that to say We're hosting about 70 to 150 youth tonight upstairs in the lighthouse. So if you will, if you're not going, I don't want to take away from the families who are already going to the fellowship hall. If you're not going to the fellowship hall, will you please just donate a little bit of your time and go upstairs and help set up just a little bit. And then once we get some of the major table moving done, the majority can leave and we'll just need a few to help serve. And I'm thankful for the families. A few have taken the financial burden on themselves to get the food ready for tonight and donate their time and energy. So if you will, just donate a little bit of your time and go upstairs into the lighthouse, help us move some tables. And then here's the other important thing, okay? If you're a teacher, we're trying something new tonight. And now this is for 7th grade, if you teach 7th grade up to high school. We're going to break up into school groups to help our youth form faith connections and godly relationships in our schools. And then another thing that we're going to do is we're going to introduce teachers to them. And so in other words, someone from a Florence High School may see your face and identify you and come and talk to you about something at school. And I think that that's really important, is that we need to form godly relationships and let our teachers identify the kids in our churches in the area, and let our students identify our teachers, form those strong bonds to prepare them for life and the world, because we know that it's tough for kids out there today, right? So if you're a teacher, please plan on staying just for a little while. A superintendent of schools is going to talk a little bit, Tony Willis, member of the church. And so it's all planned out, and I know it's kind of short notice, but don't feel obligated, right? We're cheerful givers of time and all these things. So if you want to stay, stay. If not, we have multiple people. So you're not a burden. If you want to stay, please stay. Thank you.
That meeting's 49ers classroom, correct? Not fellowship hall. 49ers classroom, just to clarify. Sing a verse of Heaven Came Down before we are dismissed in prayer. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was Let us be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to come here tonight and to worship and to study more from your word. And thank you, dear Lord, for the two messages that Greg brought us this morning and again tonight, and for his ability to fill in when Austin isn't here, and for all the other men that are so willing to fill in at different times. Thank you, dear Lord, for our elders here at Florence Boulevard, and for giving them strong biblical principles on which they stand, and that they adhere to your word and to how you have taught us to be as a church and as Christians. Lord, I want to remember those of our family who are sick and who have health issues, especially those who can't be with us. Be with the medical providers, help them that they can return soon. And also, dear Lord, I want to especially remember those who've lost loved ones. Continue to be with the Medley family and with John's cousin who lost his life, and for his wife and their child and soon-to-be child. Give them strength and encouragement and help them through this very difficult time. Dear Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for
the people that are leading our country. We know, dear Lord, that there are people that don't believe in your word, that go against things that you've taught us. Help us, dear Lord, that we can elect people not only at the state level, but especially at the federal level, that will believe in your word, that have morals that you have taught us in the Bible. Continue, dear Lord, to be with us as we leave this place. Continue, dear Lord, to give us those things we need. Keep from us those things that we don't need. It's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.